Good morning. Good morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. Despite losing that valuable hour in bed this morning, we're all gathered here to worship our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It mightn't look like church, and we'll hear a little bit about that in the announcements. It's a wonderful set that we have that the school have created for their production. But we're here to worship God. My name is Johnny, and I'm one of the elders here in Sainfield Road Presbyterian Church. If this is your first time, or it's your 1,000th time, or if you're joining us online at home or later in the week, you are warmly welcome. And please do stay and join us for tea and coffee after the service in the hub. I'd just like to draw your attention to a few announcements. Hopefully most of you might have got the announcement sheet through an email. There's a few copies out there. Just to say that life groups will be happening again this week, tonight, and throughout the week on Tuesday and Wednesday. Next Saturday, there is a coffee and a family morning, and that's at 10:30 in the church, and that's in doing it with Hyde Bank Secure College. So that will be taking place here. And the college is trying to raise funds this month for the air ambulance, so please do try and support it if you can. We meet again next Sunday for worship together. This is Palm Sunday, and this will be a communion service where we will share in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Due to a number of the AV team being away, the service will not be live streamed, just so that you're aware. And we will also be using song sheets instead of the normal words up on the screen. I'd like to ask Lucy and Mia and Stephanie, who are going to come up and give away announcement about something about this.
As you can probably see, our church is being used this week for the Cairnsville Primary School P7 show, All of Virginia. We just want to say a big thank you to Ben and the church for allowing our school to use the church to put on the show. There are three members of our church taking part in the show, myself, Mia Guinea and Lucy Hamilton.
We are putting on three shows during the week, on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. and Thursday night at 7 p.m. There are still very small numbers of tickets available for all three shows, and Cairns Hill have suggested that if any member of Sainfield Road congregation would like to come along, they can purchase any remaining tickets to the show from us after the service today. We'll be outside in the hub, so come and see us if you would like to go.
Tickets are priced £5 for adults and £3 for children, but once they're gone, they're gone. So please don't be disappointed if we sell out before you get to us. If you don't have any money today, don't worry, you can write us an IOU. Thank you again for allowing us to use our church to put on the show. It's been great to be able to show all our friends from school where we go to church each week.
Thank you, Stephanie and Lucy and Maya. Just a health and safety warning, we'll have to get the doors open before the end of the service as the stampede will go out through that very quickly to get these tickets snapped up. This morning during the service, we are going to be taking a journey through Psalm 22, 23 and 24. Boys and girls, Lynn and Jill have an amazing thing to tell you about Psalm 23 shortly, about how much God loves each and every one of you. I'm also excited to hear what Billy McClune and Helpers has for us as they open up God's word through these psalms. We're soon going to stand and sing this to our amazing God with this great Christian hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. It was written back in 1834 by an Anglican clergyman called Henry Francis Light, in 1834. And it's taken from Psalm 103, where the words speak of the love of God and our dependence on him. And so as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning, we pray that God would speak to each and every one of us gathered here in this building or online. Let me read verse 8 to 12 from this psalm. It's just a reminder of how much we are loved and how amazing is the grace that we have through faith in our Lord Jesus. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Let's pray. Almighty God, gracious and compassionate Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love. Despite our weaknesses and failures, Lord, your grace never ends. Lord Jesus, so great was your love for us, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that you took all our guilt and our sin and our shame and defeated it on the cross. And so as we worship you this morning, Father, pour out your Spirit on us today. Open our hearts and our minds and our bodies as we bring you our praise and offerings and as we listen to your holy word. Speak to us, Lord. Shape us, mold us, stir us up. And Holy Spirit, help us both individually and as a church as we journey on faith, as we do life together with Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 103 calls us to praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand and sing together this great hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
To church today, being in the set of Oliver, which is fabulous. But please, kids, come on up. You're going to have to sort of sit around there. We'll move forward so we can see you a wee bit better. Is that okay? Lovely. As Johnny said, Billy today is going to be speaking about Psalms 22 and 24, and we're doing 23 in the middle. Billy's probably doing a little bit of 23 too. But we're going to look at Psalm 23 and see what it says to us and what God is trying to say to us through it. Is that okay? There's something in Psalm 23 that if we actually believe it in our hearts, it can actually change how we feel and how we think and how we act. And the really important thing is that God loves us and is always looking after us. Now, I know lots of us, we know we say that, but it's like, what difference would that make if we actually believed it? And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Psalm 23 again, and I say again because last year, about January or February time, Ben and some others taught us lots about Psalm 23. And the person who wrote Psalm 23, David, he talks about God as being like a shepherd. Ben did teach us some actions. He even made a video. So we're going to play, in Ben's absence, we're going to play the video. And you can try and remember, if you can remember the actions, do them along with Ben. Okay? Is it? We're going to have to turn around. You ready?
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Did you remember them? A little bit. Isn't it good to have Ben with us even when he's not with us? Yep. Now, the first thing that we're going to look at that the Psalm teaches us is that if I am anxious or uncertain, God still loves me and he's still with me. The Psalm says that God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, wasn't that the sign? He restores my soul. So what does God mean by that? What do you think it feels like to lie down in green grass? What does it feel like? Now, what did it feel like? What would it have felt like this week? How was the grass this week in your garden? Wet. It was very soggy. So if you were going to lie down in grass this week, I don't think that's what the psalmist was talking about. But what about a hot summer day? What if you're outside and you're maybe in a park or in your garden and you've been running around, maybe you're playing rounders, maybe you've been climbing a tree and you're really hot and sweaty and sticky, and then you find a lovely cool spot of grass in the shade and you flop down onto the green cool grass and it feels good, doesn't it? It feels really cool and it can help you cool down and catch your breath and rest. So the gentle waters came after the green, lying in the green grass. What if you're on a walk somewhere like Tullymore? Has anyone been to Tullymore? It's my favourite place. I love it. And you go down to the river and you stop by the river and you stop talking and you listen to the water gently flowing past and it feels really peaceful, doesn't it? And it is such a pity we can't do that right now. We couldn't bring a stream in here, but I would love to have done that. But maybe, I wonder, could we do that? Is there any way we could have a stream in church today? Oh, look. There it is. Now, let's just listen really quietly for, as long as we, until we feel awkward, okay? I just stop talking. Listen to that lovely, gentle water. Shouldn't we do this more often in church? You hear the water. You can hear the birds. How do you feel? How do you feel listening to that? What does that do to you? And watching it as well. You're the same as me, Laura. It makes me feel really relaxed. I love that sound. I love the flow of the water. It looks like it's pouring over into the set of Oliver, doesn't it? But isn't it so relaxing and so gentle? Yes. So, as we quieten ourselves and we listen, it's like God is saying to us in the psalm, just sit with me. I know you're worried. I know you're anxious sometimes. But I've got it. That's what God says to us. I see what's going on for you, he says. I always see you. That's what God says. He always sees us. And he says, tell me about how you're feeling. And then, just sit really quietly. Sit with me, says God. And trust me.
Okay, boys and girls, put your hand up if you've ever been scared. Yeah? All of you? What things make you feel scared? Can you think of something? Freya? Spiders? Anybody else? Jack? Dinosaurs, they're very scary. Erin, what scares you? Abigail? We'll let you have a minute to think about it, Erin. Abigail? Spiders? More spiders? Anybody afraid of the dark? Okay, so the psalm tells us that God is with us whenever things are scary, okay? And this might be when people are not being very nice to you, or you might feel scared if you're just about to do an exam. I think the P7s will know that. Or maybe the dark frightens you, or sometimes you have a bad dream. So have a look at the picture on the screen, boys and girls. Can you see the boy with the big strong arms behind him? That is just like you and God. The psalm tells us that God is with us. And it's really, really important that you remember that in scary moments. It's like God has a high-tech tracking device on you. And he knows where you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking, and how you're feeling. He is right there with you, and it's just like he's saying, I'm going nowhere, I've got this, trust me.
Did you hear that God said, trust me again? Keep looking out for that. Another thing that the psalm says to us, sometimes we get worried that we won't have enough, and the psalm says, words like, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, what does that mean? To have an oily head and to have a cup that spills everywhere doesn't exactly sound like a good thing to me. It sounds a bit messy and a bit gloopy, doesn't it? Yeah. But what this means, what God is saying to us is, I will give you good things. In fact, I will give you more. and better things than you expect. Now, when God says about good, giving us good things, he doesn't mean expensive, fancy, designer, posh stuff. That does not impress God. He knows that that's not important. But he does offer us lots of what's important to him. And the things that he knows we really need. What do we really need? What does that slide say? Show us. I love that. Lots of food. God knows we need food. He knows we need family and friends and love and also church family. He knows that this is really important. And he gives us joy. And he gives us peace. And most importantly, he gives us himself. Sometimes in life, though, people don't actually have enough of these. And that's when God nudges people who do to be generous, to give money and time and friendship and kindness to people who need it. Sometimes it's our turn to not have enough, and we need to learn to accept help from others. And that's sometimes not an easy lesson. And that's why giving money and food items to things like storehouse is really important. It's so that we can help people who don't have enough at the minute. And we can take turns having plenty and then not having enough and then being generous. So it's almost like God again is saying, trust me, I've got this. Now, the very final thing, and the thing that I love about this, in this psalm, is the two sheepdogs. Did you hear the sheepdogs? Did you hear them being mentioned? Did you hear their names? Was it Buddy and Luna? Were the dogs called Buddy and Luna? Did you hear that in the psalm? Was it Bailey and Isla? No? Okay, no, it was Molly, wasn't it? Molly and Rover? No? Do you know what it was? The sheepdogs were called Goodness and Love. That's what the psalm says. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And last year, when Ben was teaching us about this, he said that goodness and love are like two sheepdogs, always following us, guiding us, we're the sheep, and keeping us on track and heading in the right way. So goodness and love, those lovely sheepdogs, stay with the flock all the days of our lives, and they keep us safe and they get us home. It's almost like God is saying, trust me. That's what we keep hearing from this psalm. Now, I have the Jesus Storybook Bible here. I love this. And in this book, there's a lovely version of Psalm 23. And the even lovelier thing is that we have had two people. We've had Mia and Freya, who've recorded this. And it's going to be on the screen now. They recorded their voices reading out this psalm in the Jesus Storybook Bible. So you listen out for the things that we've mentioned about if we're anxious and uncertain, if we're scared, and if we don't think we have enough, how God looks after us and how he says to us, trust me. So over to Mia and Freya. Thank you. And it's very worth waiting for. Just checking. It will come. The Jesus Storybook Bible has lots of fabulous things. Here we are. Let's hit play and hear Mia and Freya.
He is getting wonderful things ready for me, especially for me. Everything I ever dreamed of. He fills my heart so full of happiness, I can't hold it all inside. Wherever I go, I know. God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love will go to. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being our shepherd. Help us to share our worries with you, and help us to run to you when we're scared. Thank you for your always and forever love. Amen.
And now we're going to sing a song, is that right? There we
are. Just move.
Yes, I am. Good morning. It's lovely to see you here. I wasn't quite sure how many people would have managed to not sleep in or not change their clocks. And with our red weekend being away, it's lovely to see you folks here this morning. Now, one thing I haven't practiced and checked is whether or not I can operate the... And I can't see it. I don't have a screen. Oh, there we go. Yeah. There are, I'm lost that. Gavin? Yeah, okay. There are places that have memories for you. Places that you like to go. This is a place that some friends of ours introduced us to a while ago, and there's at least some people in the congregation will recognise where that is. For some people, it's the destination is the important thing, where you get to. For some people, it's the journey, it's the getting there that's really important. I'm a getting there sort of person. I'll go down to the end of a road just to see what's at the end of it. And sometimes it's a real gem, and sometimes, well, if it's not, it hasn't been a waste of time. So what about you? Are you a journey person or a destination sort of person? The test is whether or not you watch Grand Railway Journeys, Great Railway Journeys, whether you watch travel programs, whether you've planned a trip that you're going somewhere, whether you've taken time out after you finished university or something to go on travel. Are you a traveler? Well, let's see. I think I'm not changing those, Gavin, so I'm going to let you do that for me. That's mine. That's the one I'm planning to do. And you maybe might be thinking of your own version of that. In the last few years, or the last few weeks, Ben has been talking to us about Exodus, and we've been talking about Moses. Moses is a man on a journey. Man on a journey from the burning bush to Pharaoh's palace. But journeys like Moses does are not all journeys that we hear, all the places that we travel through. Those are the sort of journeys that actually are experiences that we travel through. And Moses was learning quite a lot about God as he moved through that. Ben's going to come back to Moses next week, but this week we thought we'd take a journey with David. Have a look at some of the places that he has been, as we read in Psalm 23. And we've been thinking about that since already this morning. It's poetry. I suppose that brings back memories of school days. I'm sure some of you, maybe all of you, could remember lines from a poem that you learned in school. Because poetry's got that way of sort of catching our emotions, helping us with pictures and images to see ourselves in other places and in other situations. And sometimes, right across time and culture, the person who wrote the poem can engage with us. Well, psalms are just like that. Psalms are poetry too, but they're poetry about God experiences. And as we listen to them and as we sing them and as they're read to us, we can be in tune with what the psalmist is writing. We can also be in touch with God because the emotions that they feel and think about are ones that we can share as well. So we're going to sing Psalm 23 in just a moment or two, but before we do, just ask a question. What does Psalm 23 mean to you? What sort of a psalm is it? What words would you use to finish? Psalm 23 for me is about, what did you put in there? Are you putting a word or two in there? Maybe you're saying Psalm 23 is about relationships. I'm thinking about God is my shepherd. Maybe you're thinking about Psalm 23 is about care. Everything I need, God provides. You think Psalm 23 is really about belonging, dwelling in the house of the Lord. Different words and phrases that might be important to you as you think about Psalm 23. As we come to sing it, I'll just say a couple of things that we might be thinking about. It's not difficult for us to picture the scene. You've got the shepherd and the sheep on the hillside. David knew that scene well. He had spent years doing that. And as he's thinking about it, he's thinking about what he does for his sheep. He guides them. He walks in front of them. He takes them to places where he provides what they need. He protects them when they need to be protected, cares for. And then he realizes as he's writing the psalm, but that's what God does for me. God is my guide. God is my provider. God is my protector. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. He's not thinking about the whole flock of sheep. He's thinking about himself. So David's first place that he takes us to in Psalm 23 is that personal relationship, that belonging. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he takes us to those pictures and images that Jill was thinking about. The green grass, the quiet waters, the still water places. And that's a pleasant image. But he also takes us to the dark valley, the places that are not so pleasant to be in. The places where you can't really see what's coming ahead. The difficult places, the challenging places. And David is saying, God, you're my shepherd. You're with me in the good places and in the difficult times as well. David does not desert his sheep when he takes them through difficult places. David knows God does not desert us. And here's the important bit. The security that David is talking about is not something that only applies to where we are. It's not related to the environment that we find ourselves in, the circumstances that are around us. The security is in the shepherd, not in the places that we go to. David doesn't finish there. He says a little bit more. There's another picture that he wants to bring to mind, another image that he uses. He uses that image of a banquet. Everything that he needs is possibly there. It looks very inviting. There's just one problem. The venue. Why did you choose that place? Why did you choose that sort of situation? Now, whether you're sitting on a ledge, on the edge of a mountain having your lunch, or that famous picture of the New York skyscrapers and people having their lunch sitting in a very precarious place. Those images are important because they help David to realize that although God has provided all of this for him, he hasn't actually taken him out of a difficult situation. In fact, David is sitting there at this table, and in his mind he sees all of the trouble that he knows around him. He sees around him the people who want to harm him, and he recognizes that nothing and no one can separate him from what God has planned for him, from the good things that God is providing for him. His access to those is guaranteed by God. It is not affected by those who might want to stop him and oppose him. So as we come to sing Psalm 23, we might use David's words, but let's think about it as our song, the words that we want to sing. Gary's going to play us through a verse that, as he does, just come with me and think through what your response is in Psalm 23. And then we'll stand and sing it together. Thank you. I wonder if that's a go-to psalm for you. You know the words that come back to your mind. You don't even have to make an effort for them to be filling you at different sorts of times and in different situations and circumstances that you've been through, maybe that you are going through now. But I wonder, when you meet someone who is traveling from here to there and somewhere else, there's a question that we tend to always ask. Where did you come from? How did you get here? I want us this morning to think a little bit about if David was here and we had the opportunity. We said to him, David, how did you come to write that? How did you come to that place? Psalm 23 is part of a trio of psalms, 22, 23, 24. They're a little bit like a psalm sandwich. You know what sandwiches? They always describe themselves in terms of what's in the middle. And we go to Psalm 23 and we find comfort in it, reassures us. It carries us through difficult situations. I asked the question at the beginning, what do you think Psalm 23 is about? There's a question coming up about Psalm 22, but first of all, Nick and Ilana are going to come and read it for us. Psalms are sort of meant to be listened to, and they may bring some images to mind.
Psalm 22. My God, why have you left me? You seem too far away to save me, too far to hear my cries for help. My God, I kept calling by day, and I was not silent at night, but you did not answer me.
God, you are the Holy One. You sit as King upon the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted you. Yes, they trusted you, and you saved them. They called to you for help and escaped their enemies. They trusted you and were not disappointed.
but I feel like a worm, less than human. People insult me and look down on me. Everyone who sees me makes fun of me. They shake their heads and stick out their tongues at me. They say, "Call to the Lord for help. Maybe he will save you. If he likes you so much, surely he will rescue you."
God, the truth is, you are the one who brought me into this world. You made me feel safe while I was at my mother's breasts. You have been my God since the day I was born. I was thrown into your arms as I came from my mother's womb. So don't leave me. Trouble is near, and there is no one to help me.
My enemies surround me like angry bulls. They are like the powerful bulls of Bashan, and they are all around me. Their mouths are open wide, like a lion roaring and tearing at its prey. My strength is gone, like water poured out on the ground. My bones are separated, my courage is gone, my mouth is as dry as a piece of baked pottery. My tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth. You have left me dying in the dust. The dogs are all around me. A pack of evil people has trapped me. They've pierced my hands and feet. I can see each one of my bones. My enemies are looking at me. They just keep staring. They divide my clothes among themselves, and they throw lots for what I am wearing.
Lord, don't leave me. You are my strength. Hurry and help me. Save me from the sword. Save my precious life from these dogs. Rescue me from the lion's mouth. Protect me from the horns of the bulls. I will tell my people about you. I will praise you in the great assembly. Praise the Lord, all you who worship him. Honor him, you descendants of Jacob. Fear and respect him, all you people of Israel. He does not ignore those who need help. He does not hate them. He does not turn away from them. He listens when they cry for help. Lord, because of you, I will offer praise in the great assembly. In front of all these worshippers, I will do all that I promised.
Poor people, come, eat, and be satisfied. You who have come looking for the Lord, praise him. May your hearts be happy forever. May those in faraway countries remember the Lord and come back to him. May those in distant lands worship him, because the Lord is the King. He rules all nations.
The people have eaten all they wanted and bowed down to worship him. Yes, everyone will bow down to him. All who are on the way to the grave, unable to hold on to life, our descendants will serve him. Those who are not yet born will be told about him. Each generation will tell their children about the good things the Lord has done.
So what words would you put on to that sentence which begins, Psalm 22 is about, well, what is it about? Did you have a word in mind? Well, it's one of those psalms, it's about more than one thing, isn't it? And you won't have missed those sort of prophetic words in there that we associate with Christ on a cross. But let's think about David and his time, and what is he writing about? David feels helpless. He feels God forsaken. So that opening line is a question. God, where are you? Where are you in the circumstances that I find myself in now? This is a very different place from Psalm 23. It's a very different place from where we were feeling encouraged and comforted and warmed and safe and secure. And at this place, David felt anything but safe and secure. Perhaps these are the dark valley experiences that he was writing about, thinking about. There are certainly places where he had no confidence, no security, no assurance. But did you notice what he did as he thought about the situation that he was in? He had a second question. And the question was, God, can you rescue me? Can you rescue me from this situation? And then he remembered what had happened before. David is searching for, so he may be in a place of despair and in a time of trouble, but he is searching. He's searching for God. But maybe he's not thinking in the right sort of places, because the question that brings to his mind is, well, in the past, God, you helped our fathers. They trusted you. You rescued them. But that doesn't seem to satisfy. That doesn't sort it out for David, because he's looking at other people's experiences. Yeah, it may have worked for them. You may have been close to them, but can you rescue me? He has another thought, comes to mind, and he puts it again in that sort of image of the circumstances that he's in, the mockery that he feels and hears around him. Well, surely God could rescue you. Surely God will come. He likes you. Perhaps there again, he's not looking in the right sort of place to find an answer, because he's still not satisfied with that question. The question is, will you rescue me? And he doesn't seem to have any certainty in the answer to that. Simply thinking about what God might do, does God like me enough? Have I done enough? Have I earned it? Leaves him with still some doubt in his mind. At his lowest point in his God-focused experiences, David looks not to other people's experience, not even to looking into the circumstances that he finds himself in and the feelings that come from that. At his lowest point, he simply comes to God himself and says, "You are my Lord, you are my God, you are my strength." So if we ask David, well, David, before you got to that feeling, that experience of Psalm 23, what was it like before that? The dark places may well have been the same. The difference was that in those previous dark places, he hadn't got to the point where he recognized who he was depending on. Who was this God? I think Psalm 22, as it gets to the middle point, we get the realization that David personally, intensely, knows and understands that God is his God. God is his strength. That's why in Psalm 23, he confidently says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's personal. Now, we can't hear those words read, and we can't think about those images without linking them to what we know, looking from our side of history. And we see in that Christ on the cross. We see in that our relationship, the way to our relationship with God. And so the psalm in the middle, about verse 22, suddenly changes. I suppose we could simply say something happened. Interestingly, in the psalm as David writes it, it doesn't actually tell us what God's rescue was, what God's deliverance was. But something happened, and the something that happened meant that God intervened in his situation. So there wasn't any longer the question of can you, will you? There was no one but God who could rescue him. But once he had realized that, once he had accepted that, once he had adopted that as his prayer, then the prayer of rescue becomes a prayer of praise. The despair is replaced with deliverance, because David knows God personally, and he knows that it is God's gift, not something that he might have earned, not something that he might have deserved. What links David's place, David's time, with ours? Well, what about us? Do we have head knowledge, or do we have heart knowledge? Are we able to say and take as our own the words that are in Psalm 23 because we previously have visited that experience in Psalm 22? We might at that point sort of come back to David and say, well, I'm with you, but what next? What happened after that? And Psalm 24 is the other part of that psalm sandwich. Because we're really asking David about his faith journey. Where is he going? What new things is God taking him to? Is there more? Psalm 24 describes a situation that we read about. It probably describes the situation in 2 Samuel chapter 6. As the children of Israel had moved into the promised land, the Ark of the Covenant that went with them had never come to Jerusalem. And David wanted to bring it there, and he built a tent, a place for it. And there's an occasion then when, in great procession and triumph, the Ark of the Covenant comes with them. But to begin, and that's probably where Psalm 24 is. And at Psalm 24, then we read some words. I'm just going to find out where I've left them. Here we go. We're not going to read you all of Psalm 24, but I'm going to read you some words from Psalm 24 that will be, when you hear them, familiar. Psalm 24 begins like this. The earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. The world and all its people belong to him. As David begins his Psalm 24 at that point of celebration, that time when he's thinking about God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant coming into Jerusalem, his first thought is, we have an awesome God. David is describing, in a sense, his worldview at that point. His worldview is a God-centered view and an awesome God. Not everybody who lived around where David was in at that time would have had the same view. They had their own gods. They had different views. And in that sense, it's not that different from us today. We live in a world where not everyone has the same view as we have of a God-centered world. But David, in Psalm 24, begins with those words of who God is. But the psalm really is about that Ark of the Covenant coming to Jerusalem. The psalm finishes with words that you'll also recognize. Seems to be addressing the gates, the city walls and the gates of Jerusalem, and said, gates, lift up your head, open the ancient doors, for the glorious king will come in. And then there is the response, the question from inside, but who is this king? And the response is, the Lord, all-powerful. He is the glorious king. David is celebrating God's presence with them, with him, coming into the city, and the gates opening wide represents the stronghold submitting to the conquering king. There's echoes there of what we read in Revelation chapter 19 about Christ coming as the king. So this psalm too has prophetic sounds within it. There's just one problem. And the problem that David realizes is in the middle of that psalm. He asks another question. Right in the middle of that psalm, he says, when they think about this Ark of the Covenant coming, he asks the question, who can go into the Lord's temple? Who can go up onto the Lord's mountain? Who can stand in his holy place? Here we are, celebrating, and David has a sense of awe. Can I come into God's presence? There is an answer in the psalm. It says, only those who have not done evil, who have pure hearts, who have clean hands, who have not used my name to hide their lies, who have not made false promises. What David is realizing is that acceptable worship needs to be holy worship. The people who God have invited God into their presence need to be holy. They need to demonstrate that holiness in their relationship to God and in their relationship to people. Their response to God and their response to their neighbors. Because David realizes, and we realize, that when we invite God in, when we surrender to the coming King, he accesses all areas of our lives. So we're going to stop and sing. We're going to remain seated as we sing our next hymn. We're going to sing King of Kings. And just listen to the line in that. Lord of heaven, living in me. This is what David is, this is in a sense the other side of David's Psalm 23.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when we came into church this morning, our first impression was that of the stage set behind to be used in the production this week. It reminds us of two things. Firstly, the importance of our church in the community and the community in our church. And secondly, that this is part of the educational journey for the pupils. All our children and young people are on an educational journey. So our first prayer this morning is for everyone involved in the production, especially the young girls from our church who are involved. May they have the confidence to carry off this production, and may the audiences find a warm welcome here in Saintfield Road. We pray for everyone involved in education, pupils, teachers, students, lecturers, classroom assistants, administrators, and parents. We also pray for the wonderful work of Scripio Union in schools, camps, and missions, and the planning now for the summer. Each of us is on a life journey, from the very youngest to the very, very oldest. At times, that journey has been challenging. We want to pray today for those with health difficulties. We pray for those we know in hospital and residential care. We pray for those recovering from hospitalisation. We pray for those with ongoing health issues. May they all know your healing touch. We pray for everyone involved in healthcare, especially at this very demanding time. Father, others are on a work journey and facing challenges as well, with pressures on business and finance. We again pray for them. Give them wisdom, confidence, and assurance at this time. Some folk face relationship problems in their journey. In those circumstances, we pray for a spirit of love, respect, and reconciliation. And what we pray for individuals and families, we pray for nations and countries. In Northern Ireland, we pray for a resolution of our political deadlock. In Ukraine, we pray for a cessation of war and the beginning of peace process. We remember the victims and survivors of the earthquakes in Syria and Turkey and pray for the work of Christian Aid and Tear Fund. Heavenly Father, in all of these situations, help us realise that none is either hopeless or helpless. You are the sovereign God. Your love is never ending. You have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. When we look back on our lives, at times you have carried us through. And so we believe and claim the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. And of course, we're all in another journey, and that is our spiritual journey. Each of us is at a different point in that journey, but we are challenged by what you have done for us in Christ. Salvation is mine, says the Lord. And so we pray for those who are helping us understand what that means. For Ben and Johnny and Jill and Moni, for Billy today, for musicians and singers, for the Kirk session, for the members and leaders of RED, that they might be blessed this weekend, for the Vibe, for Mums and Tots, the ARC, JCBs, Bible class, the guides. We pray for their leaders, that more leaders might step forward to help. Finally, Heavenly Father, help us realize that no matter what the challenges are in life, we are all richly blessed in so many ways. We bring our offerings today as a token of that love that we have for you. May our worship reflect those blessings. May our lives reflect your love for us. Because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I suppose the question is, what about us? Because we have this morning spent some time thinking about David and his faith journey. And as we look at that, and as we listen to his words, they touch us too, and we feel the same experiences that he felt. Different time, different culture, but the same God. We are complete in Christ, but we are still growing into Christ. Some words that I suppose summarize or sum up where we are: rescued, restored, and made right with God. That's who we are. That's where we stand. That's where David stood as he made that journey from Psalm 22 to 23 to 24. Paul wrote something about that in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read you some words before we come to sing our last hymn. Romans chapter 5 in the easy read version says this: we have been made right with God because of our faith, and so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the past. That's something that happened. That's Psalm 22, rescued. But he goes on to say, through our faith in Christ has brought us into blessings of God's grace that we enjoy now. That's the present. That's the Psalm 23, restored. And then he says, and we are very happy because of the hope that we share, a hope of sharing in God's glory. That's the future. That's the righteousness that we hope for. But hope for in a Christian sense. Hope for because we are complete, but we are growing into Christ. So just as we come to sing our last hymn, I'm going to read Romans chapter 5 from the Message. That sort of translation, interpretation of Romans chapter 5. And see whether or not for you this sums up where you are. By entering through faith into what God has already wanted for us, that is to set us right with him and to make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. Because we throw open our doors to God and we discover that at the same moment he has already thrown open his door to us, and we find ourselves standing where we had always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting out his praise. And there is more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know that our troubles develop patience, and how that patience in turn forges into tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't gather up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours out into our lives through the Holy Spirit. So, complete in Christ, living life together with Jesus here, growing into Christ. Let us celebrate that as we sing our last hymn, King Forevermore.
Creator, one.
Let us bless each other in that name of Christ our King. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.